Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we're hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're taking an in-depth look at the UBS Chief Investment Office Year Ahead 2015, which focuses on the ways that investors can navigate the occasionally choppy waters of an increasingly divergent world in the next 12 months. As well as all that, we'll be heading to Florida to visit an extraordinary collection of art, which is on display as part of Art Basel Miami Beach. So, sunshine and masterpieces on today's agenda, but first we consider the themes, trends and considerations that will shape 2015. To explain exactly what the CIO year ahead is and to share some of its objectives, here's Kiran Ganesh, cross-asset strategist at UBS.
What we're trying to do with our year ahead outlook is give our clients our views on the big trends which are shaping the world in 2015, specifically what we expect in terms of economic performance from some of the key regions, and then our investment views on where clients should be allocating their assets in 2015 based on those trends and those economic projections.
Divergence then is very much the watchword. Kiran goes on to explain exactly why.
The theme of the publication is the diverging world, and those are the big things that come out, you know, wherever we look in the world is these divergences taking place. So that exists in terms of growth. We can see that the US is having strong and increasing growth, whereas elsewhere in places like the Eurozone and Japan and some of the big emerging markets, even Brazil and Russia, seeing much weaker growth. We've obviously got central bank policy diverging between the US, where we think rates will increase in 2015, and in the Eurozone, where we think that they will actually do more easing in terms of quantitative easing. And then finally, we've obviously got the geopolitical tensions, which emerged in 2014, and we think have no signs of going away. So there's a number of divergences taking place, and really those are the big trends facing the world next year.
Strong US growth, therefore, is one of the themes in the year ahead. What is it about the US? Why do the experts like what they're seeing for 2015? Mark Hafley, Global CIO for UBS Wealth Management, explains why the US is still leading the way.
Well, we've titled the US section of the CIO Year Ahead, Leading the Way, and it's a good description of the US's position in the world economy. First of all, the economic growth in the United States is relatively strong. We estimate that in 2015, GDP growth will be about 2.9%, up from 2.2% in 2014. Secondly, the Federal Reserve is likely to start raising interest rates in 2015, but they've said repeatedly that they're going to be data dependent, and that means that any Fed rate hikes are going to come about because they see this continued strength in the U.S. economic picture. And then third, U.S. equities, for example, they're not exactly cheap, but they're relatively attractively valued, especially when you consider that they still have strong earnings growth going forward.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at some of the challenges that the last year posed and consider how responses to those issues will shape strategy next year. Up next, though, we're off to Miami. Art Basel Miami Beach boasts many important and innovative programs, and since its inception in 2002, UBS has been the lead partner, helping to establish the event as one of the world's most important art shows. This year is no different. Hundreds of galleries, collectors, and key art world figures descend on the city. Amongst the most exciting and important collections on display is UBS's own corporate collection, featuring tens of thousands of extraordinary pieces by artists from Anish Kapoor to Roy Lichtenstein, Gerhard Richter to Andreas Gursky. Monocle's Holly Fisher reports from Miami Beach.
The UBS Lounge at Art Basel Miami Beach is a rather luxurious experience. Tucked neatly and almost secretly into the corner of Miami Beach Convention Centre, it's complete with plush cream carpets, excellent food on hand, and most importantly, perhaps the largest display of contemporary art in the entire fair.
We have a phenomenal core collection dating back to key historical, major historical works dating from the 1960s to the present. You know, the collection consists of approximately 30,000 objects, so it's a tremendous and also you know, very exceptional. Again, in terms of some of the major historical works by, you know, Jasper Johns, Andy Warhol, you know, Ann Collier.
That's Jacqueline Lewis, director and regional curator for the UBS Art Collection. She meets me in the lounge to talk through the selection of art on show here and how you bring together one of the largest corporate art collections in the world.
It's a special expertise in its own right, buying for one of the leading corporate contemporary art collections. And we are a corporate collection. So I definitely have a sense of what works for our audiences, for our collection, and in terms of selecting new acquisitions. Of course, this is, you know, one of the most exciting aspects of the role. I certainly am, you know, looking at emerging artists, developing artists, as well as, you know, some of the prominent artists who have been super influential, who we do not have as much work. Again, we collect across various mediums and sort of career points, you know, so far works by emerging artists, you know, photography also works really well for us. So this is something I'm often looking at. I mean, you know, looking, of course, medium, technique, relevance, something that really feels like it's a real piece of contemporary art and that the artists are, you know, really bona fide and dedicated and working and involved in contemporary art.
UBS's place in the art world doesn't end at its extensive collection, though. The company has been a sponsor of Art Basel for over 20 years, and Art Basel Miami Beach since its conception in 2002. I meet John Matthews, head of UBS Private Wealth Management for the Americas, who tells me why working with such an event is so important.
We're proud to be a part of this event and to be a part of the growth that Art Basel Miami Beach has had, not only as an event itself, but what it's done for the greater Miami area. This has really become the show in the Americas. And once again, it's something our clients are really interested in. It's important to them. And it's important for us too, because we're, you know, as I said, we have such an extensive collection ourselves. It's a good chance for us to be a part of something that we think is important to society.
But Miami aside, the collection is also important for clients and employees.
We think art is a way to create innovative, creative thinking. And it's nice to have not only the collection, but to have it on our walls so our employees and our clients get a chance to enjoy it, get to see it, and help stimulate that innovative way to think about things. And also on top of that is our clients are really interested in art. And what we find is that the further a client goes up on the wealth spectrum, the more they become passionate about things. And many times those things, that thing is art. And so in contemporary art is certainly a medium that creates a lot of passion and interest. And so we think it's a great fit for our clientele and for our employees. And we're proud not only of our collection, but we're proud to be a part of an event like Art Basel Miami Beach, because so many of our clients around the world, not just in the Americas, but around the world, think this is a very important art event.
And while the UBS Lounge is a welcome haven from the hustle and bustle of Art Basel, being at the fair is an excellent opportunity for future investment. Jacqueline Lewis again.
I've definitely been looking for work for the collection, and I have confirmed some work. It's an excellent fair. There's always something. You know, yesterday it was definitely some competitive moments, and I am. And as soon as this is over, I will be going back out and continuing to look and see, you know, what works for us.
Every year the show is so diverse and so large. There's so many options, and it presents great optionality for anyone who's interested in the art world.
To find out more about the UBS Art Collection and where you can see some of the works from this gargantuan hoard, head to ubs.com. For Monocle in Miami Beach, I'm Holly Fisher.
You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. This week, we're taking an in-depth look at the UBS Chief Investment Office Year Ahead 2015. Tackling the demands of a divergent world in the next 12 months is at the heart of the matter. Now, one of the most instructive ways to look ahead is, of course, to first consider the lessons of the past. What do the challenges of 2014 and how different markets measured up tell us about 2015? especially when it comes to the US, which, as we heard a little earlier, seems more robust than most. Here's Mark Haefeli again.
Well, one of the great benefits that the US faces now is the shale oil boom. So much of the geopolitical turmoil that we've seen in the world that kind of impacts the markets has to do with the price of oil. And the U.S. has added 3 million barrels a day in capacity since 2010. That's the same as Venezuela. So the U.S. has a little more cushion against geopolitical shocks that are out there. And then, you know, if you compare it to, say, Europe, Europe is obviously a lot closer to things like the Ukraine than the United States. And therefore, the island nation of the U.S., that's another way that it's buffered from some of the hotter geopolitical tension points at the moment.
What are the other tension points, the potential stresses, and also the opportunities that lie ahead for 2015 then? Kiran Ganesh has this view.
The key way that we think that this translates into, you know, what clients should be doing with their investments is a couple of ways. The first is that amidst all of these divergences, we're a little bit alarmed that the consensus of economic thinking is actually quite close together. So, for example, nobody expects to see the US grow by less than 2.5% next year. No one expects Eurozone deflation. No one expects China to have a hard landing. Now, it's not to say that any of these things are going to happen necessarily, but we think that with so many divergences taking place, we might be entering in a world where things are maybe a bit more unpredictable. And so we think that clients need to really remain diversified, and we'll continue to be working with our clients to make sure that their portfolios are avoiding home bias, avoiding the wrong types of currency risk, making sure that they are diversified across the world, because you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of any of these divergences. The second thing that we would say is that these divergences all present opportunities. So as an example, within the equity space, you know, we're recommending people allocate more towards the US and less towards the emerging markets, given the divergence in growth dynamics. There's a similar story in the credit space, where we're positive in developed market credit, but less positive on emerging markets, given this growth differential that's taking place. And in currencies, we recommend that investors look at the differences in interest rates that we've got around the world and allocate more towards US dollars and British pounds and less towards euros and Swiss francs.
Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, says there are a number of compelling themes.
What comes out quite clearly from the outlook is a view that asset price dispersion will increase this year. There'll be assets and companies and instruments that do much better than others. And the one big macro trade we have on across our asset allocation is being long US assets and being underweight emerging market assets, where we think that differentiation will really play out. And be that the US dollar, which we expect to strengthen, be that US equities, which we expect to outperform, US high yield, which we continue to think will do well. On the other side, with respect to emerging market assets, we're underweight emerging market equities as we enter 2015. We're also underweight emerging market hard currency corporate debt.
The view on emerging markets there. What about Mark Haefeli's opinion? He's quite clear that the year ahead is about much more than just central banks.
Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing is that central banks are not going to be the only story in 2015, because at least in the United States, central bank policy is moving more towards the normalized state. Now, to the extent that the central bank story gets replaced by positive things like strong earnings growth for companies or stronger GDP growth, that's going to have a relatively benign impact on the markets. But to the extent that this story about the central banks gets replaced with the issues that you mentioned, like geopolitical turmoil, whether it's in Europe or in some of the developing nations or in the Middle East, that's going to create some negative volatility for the markets. I think it's going to be a balance in terms of kind of staying the course longer term with the continued global support by central banks for risk assets, but mindful that it's unlikely that volatility can remain as low as it did in 2014.
Here with a closing thought from Zurich on this week's program is Simon Smiles, who has the regular client view.
There are probably three areas where clients push back. The first is cash. Our clients tend to have very high cash balances. You know, one of the key outcomes of the report is our argument that in 2015, you need to be invested. Cash will, in a world of zero or very low real interest rates, cash will destroy purchasing power. But clients, you know, like cash, there's an emotive tie to it. It's clearly a point of contention. The second is the finding, or our belief in 2015, that diversification will be key. In a diverging world, having your portfolio spread across a range of assets is necessary to avoid underperformance. That meets some resistance from clients who still tend to have a very strong home bias. If they're in Hong Kong, they tend to have Hong Kong and Chinese assets. If they're in Switzerland, Swiss assets. In the US, US assets, etc. And I guess the third area where there's a bit of pushback from clients is with respect to the US dollar. We continue to think the US dollar will appreciate into next year. And this goes against, you know, what the clients have experienced over much of the last 4 to 5 years, which is actually a weakening US dollar trend. So really trying to convince clients, in our view, that the US dollar will continue this strength is an interesting debate.
And that brings us to the end of this 9th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or tune in via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.